Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham, and your phone calls today here on 1-800-229-3000. You can join us on the air at 1-800-229-3000. Join us.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon.
Steve, how are you?
I'm doing really good. And people, you know, they we're on radio today, and people can't see you kind of look down like, hey,
there's a brotherhood that goes on between you two that I have to tell you, it's a little Jonathan David. It's cool. It's like this brotherhood. There's such an endearment for one another. And I get to see it every time you guys work together, and it's cool.
He Jonathan. Just looks good in a blue shirt with his blue eyes.
Oh, come on.
Liar.
Yeah. It's like one of those "I love you, man," you know, moments.
Yeah. Well, we have those moments. We sure do. And the person there talking, Dr. Sherry Denham. We're glad you're with us today, and we've got a lot of calls coming up, and we are hoping that something we say is going to mean something to you. By the way, tomorrow is Every Man's Battle in Denver, and if your man ain't in the battle, then maybe it would be great if you said go. If you're in the Denver area, even if you're not. But it's probably not too late if you call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. Also, I had a friend go into our alcohol and drug treatment program down in Florida. And it was a friend's daughter. And this daughter had been in several treatment centers. Best
Remuda
thing
Ranch.
She's ever done. Not Remuda Ranch.
Which one?
Florida.
Florida.
Oh, Florida.
Our alcohol
Sorry.
And drug. That's okay. I don't listen either. And it's just a wonderful thing to know that it's a great, great place helping people. You can call us if somebody in your neighborhood, like your mother or father or son, daughter, husband, wife, needs help, we can help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call if you need some help. Let's go right over here and let's start our phone calls up here. Here's somebody that watches us on FamNet. Callie from Jacksonville, Florida. Hello there. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
We're doing all right.
Oh, it's so wonderful to talk to you, and you have been such a blessing in my life. And I have been a contributor, and I hope I can give more in
Well, thank
the
you. Thank you for that.
Okay. I am 66 years old. I have, and in my second marriage, my first marriage, I raised a stepson from 6 years. He was 6 years old till 24. And his father was alcoholic, and he divorced me after I did an intervention and kind of confronted it, got codependency help for myself and started taking a stand. And after his father divorced me, my son, and I call him mine because God gave me such a love for him through the years, but he didn't have any contact with me for 20-something years and decided he didn't want me in his life or whatever. He didn't ever hear my side of the story or anything. But my question is, how can I help him? Because God has just intervened and helped me to get in touch with him. And he married at the age of 47, which is about 2 years ago. No, 45, and it was about 2 years ago. He married for the first time. And I got his address through a long-lost cousin of his father's. And I sent him a Christmas card, and his wife, which I didn't know he was married, wrote me back. And since then, I have had contact with them, and they've asked us to go on vacation with them. Hmm. But it's like getting to know him all
wow.
over.
Right.
And he has a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, and how he deals with relationships has shut you out. And she's called just been in pain because that's what he does with her.
Sure.
And won't speak to her.
Hey, we can help you with this.
Please.
We can.
I want to help him because he's a wonderful person, and he's hurting. He's adopted. He was adopted. His adopted mother died.
Okay.
And I came in his life.
Right.
And then.
Well, we'll help you
so
right after this. Hold on. We'll help you right after this.
Mm-hmm. You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham, talking to Callie and a 47-year-old son after 24 years of absence. And he's angry, and she wants to help him. What would your specific question be for us?
How to engage him into conversation about what his life was like in our dysfunctional home and how that might have affected him and how he reacts to people now.
Well, what have you said to him up till now when he's been
Nothing. Angry?
You haven't?
No. It's never been a chance where we can have been by ourselves. But when I've even alluded to anything, he just seems to want to, I get the impression he wants to keep it on the surface.
Mm-hmm. And this is what you can do, Callie, is it's he has been hurt. For one, he's had a lot of abandonment.
Right
out of, you know, utero there, right? Right from
yes.
baby into abandonment. So he wants to keep it light because then he doesn't have to feel the emotions that come along with real conversation.
Right.
And so if we keep it light, you get nothing, right? You get life light and you don't really heal any parts of our heart. But I would encourage you to just personalize it. You go belly up first. You be vulnerable. And you just lead with that to say, you know what? I am so excited and happy and pleased that you have opened your door to me. And I don't want to lose that connection again. It means so much to me. Just let him know how much his relationship means to you. And then to say, I would like to know if there's anything I have done that I have hurt you.
Or what have I done that hurt you the most?
Yeah.
And you're just acknowledging that you've hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and
so
you can't
that
lose
he
on it.
Knows exactly what Steve just said. You know, so you just lead with that. Don't try to go scientific on him and look at him in a petri dish and help him figure out what he's doing that impacts other people. Mm-hmm. Don't go there, right?
Okay.
Because he's
all right,
defended. Okay. You just own. You teach him by example how to talk about deeper things, and you just kind of do that by owning how you hurt him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
Callie, you may have to explain why he didn't hear from you for 20 years.
He did hear from me. I just didn't hear anything back.
So how often did he hear from you?
Well, at first it was as often, but his father told me right up front that his son didn't want anything to do with me. So, but I did send a card. I sent him a letter asking him to forgive me for anything I've done to hurt him. That was when he was in his 23 or 4
sure.
years old.
Sure.
And then I maybe 7 or so years later, I tried again. I found out where he was and sent him another letter.
Okay, but the key then is why was there this gap between, you know, 7 years later kind of a thing? And I'm not saying you did anything wrong.
Yeah.
But there's several illustrations in scriptures how several people like Stephen and Paul and different people, they go back and they recount a history very thoroughly, and they explain why we are where we are today. And so I think it would be great if you could say to him, you know, like Sherry said, I agree with Sherry. He's always been on your heart. He's never not. But you may have a hard time convincing him of that, because a person who has gone through abandonment assumes that the other person really doesn't want them, or they project their negative feelings onto the other person. So I really want to encourage you to say, I've always wanted to. Your dad discouraged me. I tried to pursue. You didn't return my letters. I've continued to pursue. Don't mistake our not talking for 20 years for a lack of interest in you. I've loved you. I've always loved you. As a matter of fact, I very much liked what you said at the beginning, Callie. I raised him like he was my own, and you were really bonded to him. So you've suffered too in the middle of this, Callie. And part of what you need to share is how much you've suffered in the losses of having him ripped away from you, and the husband you divorced discounting you, and that you've kept fighting for 20 years, and that he gets this is a 20-year fight you've been exhibiting.
Great
for him.
Great point, Mylan.
Okay.
Do you hear the difference?
That yes,
you miss
all
him.
My relationships.
That what?
It's affected my relationship now, and trust, and just being one fear of rejection myself that I have issues with, I guess.
Sure.
And I did call one time, and his girlfriend asked who I was and hung up my face.
Be sure to tell him all these stories.
Tell him the stories.
You keep trying. Keep trying, and just kind of wear your Teflon suit when you go in, because you might get, as a child, a lot of times when they do the bonding and attachment work, when a child has been abandoned, the mom will come back in the room and the child won't even look at them. The child may even spit or kick or do something that's angry in their direction,
right?
But it's just because they're hurt and wounded. But that mom stays there, and she provides that safe, consistent approach, and the child can heal.
Right. Okay, let's go over here to Grace from Oxnard, California, listening on KDAR. Hello, Grace. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, thank you.
Sure. What's going on?
Yeah. I'm with somebody that I've been with for over 30 years, and I guess my question is, I don't know how to approach deep-rooted issues. We were married, and we're divorced in 2006, and we have a lot of history. We go back since we were like 12 years old, and we haven't really had a chance to be together.
When you were married, or now that you're divorced?
Both.
Why is this so difficult for you right now?
Why is it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been so much trauma. There's been a lot of heartbreaking things that have gone on.
Okay. What's the question for us then?
We need counseling. We need counseling. I need a counselor, a recommendation for a good counselor in our area.
Well, we can do that for you, but how could, maybe we could answer a question for you here right now.
Yeah, I don't know if he is as sincere he seems to be, you know, as I am. Because of the time we spend together, and you know, he just seems to really be trying stuff like that. You know, as far as it's like a reconciliation relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Grace, I don't. It's really hard to get what you're getting at here.
Mm-hmm.
it's really hard for you us to understand what you're trying to say.
Right.
You're telling us a lot of information, sort of bouncing around from piece to piece. And so I'm wondering, and Steve's asking the question, is it possible that you could give us a direct question? Yes, I know you need a counselor. You're right. That's a good thing to search for. But what question do you have of us?
I don't know if it's I don't know if we're on the same level.
Well, what's he been doing the past few years?
What's he been doing?
Yeah.
He was living with another girl.
Oh.
Well, that ought to tell us a little bit something there that we can help you with then.
Are you back together now?
We're back. We met when we were, I'm 48, he's 51.
Yeah, when you were 12, we got that.
Yeah, we met when we were kids. We had a baby when we were 16 years old. He went to prison when he was 19, a couple years later. I jumped into another relationship 3 years later and had two kids. My family was seriously, strongly, destructively against our relationship, which, okay, you know, there's some understanding there.
Let me ask you really simple question, okay? This is really simple.
Please.
Okay. So here's a man who has been in prison and has been living with someone else in another relationship. What makes you think that things are going to be better for you with him now? Has he made some major change? Is he doing something he never did before? Help us understand.
He seems to... I've never spent as much time as I have with him now. He seems to always be... he seems to be there more than he's not, you know.
Okay, so... But is he doing anything? Has he done anything that would help him develop character and...
Grace, you're settling for breadcrumbs, my dear. You're used to living in really anemic emotional relationships, aren't you?
Probably.
Yeah. So you've had a life of trauma, and you're holding on to the idea that he may be the guy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's happening is, in the midst of you holding on to that, you're not getting what you really need from people that have something to offer you. You're keeping yourself starving emotionally. We can hear it.
Oh, I know. I'm not afraid to face anything. I'm not afraid to face, you know, whatever the truth is. You know, I get it.
But you know what you need to do? Because you're starving right now. You need to get into some relationships with people that have something to give to you more than breadcrumbs. You've come from a history of family members that haven't met your needs, and you've been with a man that hasn't met your needs, and that's why you're 48 and starving. So are you in a small...
No, it's true.
Uh-huh. Are you in a small group? Are you seeing a therapist? Where are you building hearty relationships?
I have several. You know, I have a lot of... you know, good friends, stuff like that. My problem is I'm not consistent.
I know, because trauma breeds drama in relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We got to stop the drama. You got to get connected with some people and stay consistent. So I'm going to give you some things you need to do. You need to find a good therapist that specializes in...
So forget about me and him. Concentrate on me.
You need to concentrate on you right now, darling, because you don't have much to offer him.
Mm-hmm.
You're starving, right? It's like you're trying to feed him out of an empty cup.
No kidding.
Yeah. So you need to go do your own work. You need to get with a therapist who specializes in trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder trauma, and you need to start bonding, learning what it feels like to bond. And then you need a women's group. You need a support group of women that you can go every single week to help you heal your heart.
You suggest that because we don't have to see each other every day or...
We're not focusing on him. We're focusing on you.
Okay.
All right. You need to start pouring into you. And then you can make better choices about him right now. But as long as you keep focusing on him, you're going to eat breadcrumbs for the rest of your life. You need to
have a
banquet table. So that means therapists and a small group for women, a support group.
Yeah.
Will you do those two things for us?
Oh, yeah. I even knew what you were saying. I just didn't realize it wasn't as clear as it should have been.
Yeah, very clear. That's what you need. All right?
Yeah.
So you're willing to do that?
Oh,
that's a big step.
I'm already do. I do that.
I'm going to send you How We Love. I hope you'll like it. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Mylon, you had a comment.
Well, a lot of people, you know, Grace sounds like a gal who came out of what we would call a chaotic home, a highly disorganized, chaotic. And so she enters into adulthood chaotically attached.
Okay.
So she's more like the victim, or at times she marries someone who's highly controlling, probably a controller-victim relationship. And when they first get married, they've known each other a long time, they have a baby, he goes to prison, there's lots of drama and lots of chaos going on. And right now what I'm discerning, or I think I'm getting, she's questioning his sincerity. It appears as though, I got hints of the fact that she might be looking at a guy who's a little bit more stable, a little bit more present, and she doesn't know what to do with that. It's unsettling to her. And to a chaotic person to all of a sudden have a more of a settled relationship, they don't know what to do with that. And so a lot of times chaotic or disorganized folk will actually create more drama because they feel comfortable around dramatic.
Okay.
So it's learning to live then with Sherry's explanations and encouragement. It's learning to live with new states of normalcy and learning to live in a world that isn't filled with adrenaline, stress, and chaos. How do I live in a state of normalcy and learn to be comfortable in that? That may be a part of her journey. It's simply conjecture on my part, but having talked to lots of Graces, I think that may be a part of her journey that she needs to consider.
And I don't think you can learn to speak properly with a popsicle in your mouth. In
okay,
other words,
keep going.
If she's going to live her life differently, She can't stay stuck to this guy. She's got to break free of him, be independent, and get the help that she needs. That willingness, not just, okay, I'll get some help, but you know, things will still be, she's got to walk away.
It's like emotionally growing up a bit. It's emotionally learning what a healthier person feels like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for some of us that have grown up in chaotic homes, it's like, how do I do that?
Yeah.
And
it's
the
like
only
the
way
moth
of doing
being,
it
it's
is
like the
doing
moth
it.
Being drawn to the flame or to the, and so how do we do this thing you're just saying right here? How do we do this thing called normal life? Non-dramatic life.
Yeah, it means, I mean, I've had to do it because I grew up in a home that was chaotically disengaged.
Right.
All right. And so I didn't know how to have relationship and intimacy. I had to start practicing it. I had to get into individual counseling for the first time, having a mother figure that was consistent, that cared for me, that would look into my heart, that would ask me questions, that I got to show up every week and bring her my heart and learn how to have a conversation. Then I started a small group, which I've been in for years, of where I go back every week. I'm there 3 hours every week. You know, part of my growth over the last 20 years is why I do what I do today, is helping people learn how to connect. Because you can learn it. I'm evidence of that. Mm. But you've got to find heartier people to attach to.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you a question on that. If things are quiet or calm, do you find yourself ever getting anxious at calmness?
You know, you kind of wait for the shoe to drop. I mean, there is a part of that. As you're asking the question, yeah. Because I think...
You wait for drama to hit, don't you? Or you're anticipating it might. You wait for the shoe to drop.
Yeah. It's when is the shoe going to drop? Because when something is just easy and when it works really well, I'm like, you know, you're kind of more hypervigilant. Right.
Right. In a defensive posture.
Right.
Which is what I'm saying about grace. You've gotten, with all the work you've done, you've gotten used to normal relationships and normal environments.
Right.
But when I ask you that question, it's interesting.
Well,
that you still say,
I could feel it.
I can feel it rise up inside me.
But I've learned not to create drama.
That's
to
right.
get attachment.
There you go. See,
I've
now
learned
that
because drama breeds more trauma and disconnect. I've learned to connect and to attach to people that are healthier. My therapist used to tell me, because I used to go into session and I would just take tons of notes. Like she'd be there talking and I would write and fill up pages. And she goes, you know, ask me about it. And I go, well, I feel like I'm going to forget something that you're telling me. And she said, Sherry, I am like a banquet table. You come in here every week, and guess what? If you don't get something down, I will give it to you next week. Mm-hmm. And so you know what? I didn't bring my notebook the next week. I just started showing up and trusting that she was strong enough to bring me truth. I didn't have to feverishly try to get it all.
That's really neat.
So quickly.
Now, there's the backstory to the information you gave Grace. There's the backstory.
Yeah.
Which that's beautiful. And it's just to say, those of us that come out of traumatic, chaotic environments, it's very hard for us to get used to normality.
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's really a journey.
We don't trust it.
No, we don't. We don't trust it. And that's all I'm trying to say about grace.
You're right.
And it's just
You're
one
right,
little
Mylan.
Piece. No, it's mm-hmm. just one little piece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with this new calm.
Yeah.
I have to create some drama in order to feel comfortable again. It's more comfortable for me to live in a dramatic environment than it is a calm environment.
Right.
I'm more anxious in the calm.
And Grace said, I keep unplugging. She goes, oh, yeah, I know about all those relationships, but I had to stay plugged in.
Yeah.
I had to stay plugged into a source. Just kind of show me.
Grasshopper, you chose the high road.
I did.
Very good.
I did. I teach other grasshoppers now
right.
how to hop.
Now,
I understand the grasshopper.
But Steve, that's who's on New Life. People that we're not just...
Grasshoppers?
Well, we are grasshoppers. We're learning. But the point I'm trying to make is I had a couple walk in one week. They were in their 20s and they said to me, why do you call us grasshopper every week?
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
They weren't old enough to remember the show.
All right, we're going to take a break.
But that's who we are here. We're growing.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about willingness. I got a great story on willingness, and I want to share it. Just heard it last night. We'll take a break. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program, and 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you'd like to get some help, we're right there. We want to help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this message. Don't go away. We've got something good for you.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would picket my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, just one of the best counselors ever, Dr. Sherry Denham. I said I want to talk to you about willingness.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we say we're willing, but we're not. And last night I was having dinner in Dallas, and this guy told me that he knew the person that he wanted to marry was not right for him.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that they were sexually involved and that that was the big deal. So he prayed to God, God, do not let me go over there and ask her to marry me. I can't help myself. Please keep me from doing it. He's driving a car that he said was cost over $100,000. Brand new. And he says, God, if you don't want me to marry her, make the engine fall out of my car.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
He drives over a speed bump.
Uh-huh.
And these two pins that hold up the shocks fall out of the car and the engine hits
the pavement.
Are you
the
speed bump. Me?
Oh, my gosh.
So essentially, the engine fault. He cannot drive the car.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, could there be anything more direct from God than this brand new car, a Mercedes, the engine falls out, like he said.
So tell me that he didn't go.
It's pouring down rain. He gets an umbrella and walks the whole way without his car. Asks her to marry him.
Oh, Steve.
She says, listen to this. You're going to love this. I will marry you only tomorrow, because I know if you don't marry me tomorrow, you'll never marry me. So, falls right into it, marries her the next day. Marriage lasts for 7 days.
Oh,
seven days. But, you know, you act like you're willing, God, give me a sign. He got the sign, and he's still not willing to do what
wow.
he knew. It just shows you how power. I said to him, well, that's why Proverbs has quite a few verses there in the beginning.
About that little sex thingy.
About that situation right there.
Yeah. Well, that's why I tell people, if you want to know if somebody loves you and if they're a good choice, say no to sex before marriage. And if a guy will tolerate that, if a gal will tolerate that, then that means that they have the potential of being a better catch than this situation where they're immediately involved having sex. And they're, like you say, their hormones and their chemicals, they're intoxicating.
Yeah.
So that's why God is wise to say, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That leaves lots of other time for conversation and getting to know one another.
If I get the cookies,
once sex enters in, it's kind of like you stop growing
you
often
do.
In your relationship emotionally.
If I get the cookies on the first date, I don't stop and ask, how does this bakery work?
Wow, what an analogy. If I get the cookies on the first date, I'm not looking for the recipe, how to bake them, how it works. It's just cookies from there on
That's
out.
That's right.
Girls, hold on to those cookies, I have to tell you.
Yep, no question about it. Because there's an entire cookie line called Broken Cookies. Did you know that? They package up the broken cookies and they sell the broken cookies.
Okay. And the
they're
point.
Called
well,
misfits
and the point.
Is well, what you, they're called.
You, they're called what?
Misfits.
Misfits,
you know,
yeah.
I used to go into a cookie place, and the cookies that broke, they would sell at a third of the price, and they'd call them misfits. And
we have to turn this into a good story.
No, but I'm saying, you're not a misfit. You know, don't settle. Right. You are people of worth.
And don't go through life packaged up as a broken cookie.
Well, you don't have to stay broken.
No, you sure don't. Amanda from Huntington Beach, California, listens to us on KKLA. Hello, Amanda. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a single mom raising three teens, and your show is one of my lifelines, so thank you. Currently, my issue is with my 14-year-old son. He's very, very smart, and he loves video games. He plays Call of Duty. He's got the strategies figured out. He's got a whole social networking thing going on. And I'm concerned that he's addicted. And I don't know. I mean, we've talked about it, but I'd like to have a better relationship with him and connect with him more. He has no relationship with his father. When he was 18 months old, his father was taken to jail for actually trying to hurt him and me. And then the court has kept him out of our lives he has no contact. He's just a dangerous person. So he's connected with, you know, his sports. He's an amazing baseball player. He's got friends. We go to church. But he's recently just begun a relationship with one of my friends' fiance, and they're getting together and starting to talk and have some sort of relationship because he's really never had a guy mentor. And his grandparents, my parents, are completely disconnected. They want no part of my life. And then his dad's parents are both deceased.
Okay.
And then my sister is pretty much, you know, out of the picture. She won't have anything to do with our family. So I guess the question is what can I do to see that how much is too much of the video games? And he's a good student. I mean, he gets straight A's. But yet, you know, he spends hours on his downtime playing these games.
Okay.
Let me tell you, Amanda.
You know,
Amanda.
For other signs
Amanda.
Of, you know, concern.
Amanda.
So,
Amanda.
Yes.
Let me tell you a quick statistic. This is near you. UCLA does a study every year of incoming freshmen across the United States, and just this September they did a study of a quarter of a million freshmen. And they determined that the incoming freshmen were at the lowest emotional health that they had been in since 1985 when they first started doing this survey. That is, the American freshman was at low levels of emotional health, which means that their capacities to have emotional and relational skills were at all-time lows.
Yeah,
and why do you think that
concern.
Is? And why do you think that is?
Well, the breakdown of the family, the lack of anybody sitting down and talking to a person, and we know for a fact that more than two hours of screen time a day is not healthy for any child. More 2 hours plus. That's it. So more than 2 hours, it's not good for a child. There was a group of studies came out of England just this last year indicating that if you have a child or a teen that is over 2 hours of video, it is taking their capacities and learning times how to have emotional and relational skills go out the window because they don't have to have them.
It doesn't mean that an hour and a half is healthy either.
Mm-hmm.
And see, here's something that maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll help. But as a parent, you've got two big things that you want to provide your children. And they both start with B. That's because they're big. One is you want to give them benefits. And you have different benefits at different ages, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you've given him the benefit part. You've given him really the supreme video games and opportunities and all that. But there's another thing other than benefits, and that's boundaries. See, because you feel guilty about the way his life is gone and all that stuff. And you got to tell yourself, the guiltier I feel, the worse parent I am.
Yeah.
The more forgiving I am and accepting of reality I am, the better parent I am, and the better able. Well, I don't care how you feel. You need to set a boundary with him that every day he can play video games for 1 hour, and then you're done. That's the boundary. I know you don't like it. I know it's tough and it's mean and everything, but be grateful you get the benefit of 1 hour of the most popular video game, and you can connect with your friends and all of that. Now, if you can't accept the 1 hour benefit, it means that probably I should limit you to 30 minutes, and then you earn back time for the game.
Okay. Boundaries,
benefits.
And it might be a good time to ask him what you guys can do with that extra time. Right. If he's allowed to have 1 hour, let's say he's on for 3 hours a day or whatever he is, what can you do with those 2 hours of time? What would he like to do with you? Kind of a relationally connected event.
Yeah. Well, he spends his time, playing baseball, practices, and different things. He comes back. He's just very high functioning mentally, and he's bored with so much.
But, Mom, I'm asking Mom, what kind of time can he have with you?
We can go to the batting cages. We can go, play basketball.
There you go. Those events are going to begin to fill the time that he's just offline and out of relationship. There's a book by Arch Hart called Thrilled to Death, and we've got a whole nation of kids that are abusing their brain. They're being thrilled to death. Their brains aren't working as well. So it's really important that you fill that with your relationship. And he wants you. He wants you, believe it or not. That's the reward, is time with Mom.
All right. I hope that's helpful to you. Let me send you How We Love Our Kids. We'll take a break, come back. More of New Life Live right after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. If you're on, I'm going to take one more call, but if you're on, hold on, because we're going to do one more program after this, all right?
Steve, can I just make a quick announcement?
I want you to.
Well, tomorrow, the 20th of May, we're going to be at Woodcrest Chapel, Columbia, Missouri. We're going to be filming How We Love Our Kids Friday night and Saturday morning till noon.
Okay.
So we're actually videoing and filming to a live audience.
What time?
7 to 9 p.m. on Friday night.
7 to 9 p.m. on Friday night. Morning church service.
Forget morning church yet. Saturday.
What's the name of the church?
Saturday we're going to be 8 to noon. And we're going to be filming How We Love Our Kids. The next day, we're going to be preaching at the services too, Canada.
What's the name of the church?
Woodcrest Chapel, Columbia, Missouri, on Nifong Road.
Okay. Woodcrest Chapel Church.
Columbia, Missouri.
Columbia, Missouri.
I don't think they have the church on back of the
just
back
give me
of
the
chapel.
First time. Just give me the first time.
Friday night, 7 o'clock.
Friday night, 7 o'clock. All right. Good
be
deal.
There.
All right. Let's go to Ann from Shreveport, Louisiana. She listens online. Hello, Ann.
Hello.
How are you today?
Well, I've been better, but I've been worse.
Well, what in the world is going on in your life that's saying that you've been better?
Okay. I want to know what is the right thing to do when our homeowner's insurance wants to cancel unless we do some repair and cleanup on the outside of our house. And because my husband wants to do the work himself but cannot because he works out of town, he doesn't want me to hire anyone to do it even though we have the money.
Wow, that's tough. What do you think his reasoning is for not wanting you to hire someone?
He wants to do it himself because no one can do it the way he wants it.
So okay. He's a perfectionist and a controller.
Yes.
Well, sadly, you know, you may have to, unless Mylon's got some genius idea here, you may have to let the consequence occur for him to see how ridiculous his view is.
He doesn't care.
So he's just going to get another citation? And.
Well, it's not a citation. It's just that we won't have any homeowner's insurance.
How does it feel to live with a controlling perfectionist?
Like I don't matter.
Yeah. Feel really small.
Stupid.
Really?
Yeah, really small and really helpless.
Yeah. Paralyzed.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry you're having to go through this.
How long have you been married?
41 years.
How rigid is he in other areas?
Very rigid. All or nothing, black or white.
So he controls more than money. He controls values, opinions, judgments of people's opinions within the house as well.
I'm sorry?
Would he also control, besides money, would he control thoughts, opinions, values of people within the home, you, everybody else? In other words, he'll have opinions about what you ought to think and feel?
Yes.
Okay. And is he miserly with money in ways other than this?
He used to be until I discovered that he was not paying bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I just flat said, I will be handling the money from now on. And so I do. And now our bills get paid.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is he meets some of the criteria for what's called obsessive compulsive personality disorder. What's that?
Tell me.
Well, if you look up OCPD, write those little four letters down, OCPD, OCPD, Obsessive Compulsive Personality Disorder, it describes a highly controlling person that is, as you said, very rigid, and as Sherry said, they leave people feeling very alone because within them there's high levels of anxiousness, anxiety, and the need to do everything perfectly or just a certain way, and they won't let people touch things or do things. And so there's several criteria. And what you need to do is at least go online, and there's 9 criteria for obsessive compulsive, and a person has to maybe meet 5 of them in order to qualify for this diagnosis. But study up on it, read up on it, because the only way you're going to be able to deal with a person like this is by really understanding who he is and what is driving him. And so if you have some sort of a handle, handles always help us in this thing called life. Mm-hmm. And so, right. Sherry, how does a person go about, or Steve, dealing with a person that historically has been, you know, this highly rigid control, so much so that they won't pay bills? You know, how do you deal with it, go about dealing with a person like this?
I want to change my response. Knowing that he didn't pay bills and then she just put her foot down and said, I've got to pay him, I would say you hire the handyman and you just deal with it, because otherwise she could lose her home. So,
yeah.
So I say you just go ahead and get the stuff fixed, and then you be prepared for his wrath, you know, and however you were prepared when you took over the bill paying. And you just say to him, look, honey, this is just like the bills. They didn't get paid. I'm not going to jeopardize if you drop dead tomorrow. I don't want to be without a house and a resource here, so I've got to protect myself. That's why I did it.
Well, and in powerless, helpless, small women who have small voices don't realize the power they have. Over time, we forget that we have some power in the relationship, that we matter. And so we stop making requests of our partners.
Mm-hmm.
And then that goes nowhere, right? Because you stop making requests because there's no teeth in it. I don't know. I'm having kind of a visceral reaction.
Sure.
Where I'm just like, you know, if he's not willing to get the help, because you've got someone who's got severe, okay? He's kind of got severe OCD or some issues. There's helps. You know, there might be some psychotropic meds. I have somebody right now that I just referred for severe OCD. They're actually getting some brain helps right now. They're focused in on that part of the brain. It's a cingulate gyrus. And I saw them recently. They feel different to me.
Right.
They are looking at options. They are not so stuck and so rigid.
But the OCD person is different than the OCPD person. The OCD person, it may be in your office because they want to be. Ann's husband is not going to want to even go into a counselor's office. He has a personality disorder.
I get it. But if the locks have been changed on the front door, and if she says, we don't have insurance, this house is at risk, and you need to get some help. Do you know what I mean? At some point.
Absolutely. So what we're saying here, what we're saying to you is, unless you're willing to fight the 41-year-old battle you've been fighting, then you are not ever going to beat this thing. You have to decide, I'm going to fight. This is bigger than just the insurance.
Yeah.
I'll send her How We Love.
Yeah. She's got to make a stand.
Yep.
A 40-year one stand.
I mean, there's sometimes where we have to come in and say, no, you know, this resource has to be protected.
But Ann needs support. Ann, you're going to need some support.
All right. Speaking of support.
Last chance for every man's battle this month. It starts tomorrow in Denver, and it's not too late to sign up. We can take some last-minute sign-ups. Also, don't forget our Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center in Florida. It is so good. It could really help you. And don't forget that we need your support. We always need your support. And if you can help us, join Club New Life. We'll send you a Bible, either Every Man's Bible, which is such a great tool for men, or the Life Recovery Bible, which is a great tool for anybody you know that's either in recovery or needs to be in recovery. That's our gift to you. But if you can help us, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can give online at newlife.com. At newlife.com, you can find out about all the resources that we have and the wonderful weekends, like Wives in the Battle, the Healing is a Choice weekend. It's all right there for you. So take a look. And then, if we can help you, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. If you can help us, same number, same website. We need your help. I hope that if you need our help, you'll let us know. And we'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652.
Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.